This talk has kind of got to try and encapsulate our theme. And I guess I could stand here and I could say, oh, you know, enjoy your salvation. And you could go, yeah, okay. But what I'd rather do is I'd rather give you reasons why. And I'd rather show you why from the Word of God. And I'd rather really make it personal, because that's what salvation is. It's a very personal thing. It's got to be personal. And when I saw these verses, I was on the train one morning. I catch the train down to work, and when I read these verses that I want to look at today, it really changed something in me. It just gave me a greater appreciation for the salvation that the Lord has called me to. And I guess it was like a joy mixed with awe and excitement and purpose kind of thing. It was all of those things in one. And I suppose I want to take you through them and let you make your own mind up. But we talk about salvation and being saved. You know, you hear that a lot. Does anyone know what saved, what does saved mean? So it's the idea that you were somewhere that was bad, and now you've been brought out of that. So to enjoy your salvation, you sort of got to know what it is, what you've been saved from. You've got to know how it happened, by who. And being saved, as I said, implies that you've gone from one place to something new. And so you've got to have sort of an understanding or appreciation of this new thing, where you are now. And some people want to sell you a one-off hyped experience about this. You know, like, oh, you know, this one-off kind of thing. But for me, and I believe scripturally, I believe for those who walk with God, it's a daily thing. It's a daily growth. And, you know, something came out in the gifts recently up the coast, and that was how that a thankful heart is what drives you to do the works of a Christian. And a thankful heart is cultivated every day. So I want to have a look at those things now. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. For some people, this is a bit of a controversial story, but it's actually not controversial at all. I want to have a look. This story is in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's about a guy who the Bible says was under the power of devils. That's the controversial bit. But I want to look at it, and I want to go through it as a literal story first, and then I want to look at another whole lot of other meaning that is the real meaning of this story, I believe. So let's start reading. Verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, this is Jesus, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that they had often bound him with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So this thing that was had hold of him gave him this amazing strength to break everything that people tried to bind him with. Verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For Jesus had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So this is a conversation between Jesus Christ and this unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He says, okay, go. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000 of the pigs. And they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. In verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, this is Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him or stay with him. But Jesus suffered him not and said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Okay, so you got the scenario, got the story? Okay. See, this story, when I read it this morning, I was on the train, I hadn't had prayer that morning, and I sort of thought, oh, we should have had prayer, you know, but had to run for the bus, run for the train. So I said to the Lord, well, I just want to see something out of the scriptures. Really simply just asked him to show me something. And so I looked at this verse, and when I read this, at the end of this, I wasn't thinking about this guy, you know, all the literal stuff. It was, my thought was, praise God, he delivered me from my sin. And when we go back through this story now, this is really individual. So every single person here, there's two things I want you to think about as we go through this. One is, you are legion. Okay? So get into his skin as we go back through this story. You are legion. You personally, you know, you are legion. And the devils, or the unclean spirit, represents your sin before you were born again. Okay? So we'll go back through this story. Now, as we're going back through this first bit, I've heard sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, I didn't have a truckload of vices when I was zero, or when I was two or five or whatever, when I came to this fellowship. And so I can't really, I haven't got that before and after experience, so it's hard for me to know what I've been saved from. You know, I don't have that same thing where I can, you know, lights off, lights on kind of experience. But I think the thing that's wrong with that thinking is it's not our vices or our old lifestyle habits that Jesus Christ has saved us from. And so whether you're someone who's been born again recently, you know, just a few weeks ago, and you may have had the most hideous life, you know, through the world, you might have just done everything and to the extreme, whether you've been brought up in the Lord or whether that's your case, you've just been born again recently, you've been saved from exactly the same thing. And you are just as washed and just as redeemed and just as free and just as delivered and just as blessed as each other. The thing you've been delivered from is sin. So let's go back through this story now, and I'll quickly have a look at it. Verse 2 talks about an unclean spirit. Remember we're saying, okay, the unclean spirit is your sin. The problem with man is at a soul level. We know that. Verse 3 to 5 talks about the state of this man, this legion. He was unable to be restrained. No man could bind him. But the thing was, he was bound. But he was bound by something that was greater than any man or himself could free him from. He couldn't be restrained. He wasn't restrained unto righteousness. He was bound by sin. The unclean spirit was binding him. Romans 8 says that the natural mind of man is not subject to the law of God, and neither can it be. If you've been brought up in the Lord, I want you to look at these verses 3 to 5, because to me, this is one of the most graphic depictions of sin. I think, well, what does sin look like? But these verses show what sin looks like. So before you were born again, is this what we looked like to God? We were running around, out of control, out of our mind. It was a state of being that we were in. We were hurting ourselves. Remember, he was cutting himself with stones. He was tormented. He was running around in the tombs and in the graves. We were totally destructive, but we couldn't change that. So I guess part of it is an appreciation of what we looked like before Jesus Christ. What happened then is, in verse 6, it says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. So Jesus arrives, and the one thing that happens with this guy is he just throws himself at Jesus Christ's feet. All he does is he sees that this is the answer. This is someone who actually can help me. And by the grace of God, remember, you are legion. By the grace of God, you also did the same thing. You responded to the gospel. You humbled yourself and you sought the Lord for the Holy Ghost. And I don't believe that's my choice. Read in John 15, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. By the grace of God, we also responded to the gospel. Verse 9 is an interesting thing. Jesus says to him, what is your name? Now, this guy's name is Legion, and 5,500 to 6,000 men. Legion is a group in an army, in a Roman legion. You've probably heard of that. 5,500 to 6,000 men. So this guy had 5,500 to 6,000 unclean spirits, or whatever you want to call them, that were controlling him. And his name is his definition. So before we met Jesus Christ, our definition was sinner. His name was his definition. For me, even though I was five, that was my definition as well, because the potential for sin in me was unlimited. It was the way I lived, you know, before I was born again. It was a state of being, of humanity. And I wasn't able to restrain myself. Okay, here's this really awesome bit. Verse 11. Where the devils, these unclean spirits, get cast into the pigs. Let's quickly just read it. Now, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. So he's got complete power over this. He's going, okay, you can go. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. Let's go back to Leviticus 11. Remember, is everyone remembering that you are legion? And verse 7, this is where the law, where God is telling his people the things that they shall and they shall not do. Verse 7, Leviticus 11, verse 7, and the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he choose not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. So what Jesus Christ does here is he sends the sin of this man into a place that the people of God never go. And think about it for this guy. He's standing there. He knows he's been bound. He's been cutting himself with stones. He's been running amongst the graves on his own. Jesus Christ takes this thing out, puts it in the pigs. The pigs run down the hill, over the cliff, down into the ocean and drown at the bottom of the sea. And the guy's free. So if this is indicating your sin before you met Jesus Christ, think about the picture. He's standing there and he sees it go. It's gone. I believe these verses are talking about Jesus' final victory over sin for us. There's one powerful scripture, sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans 6. That is one of the most powerful scriptures for Christians that there is, because you're free. Think about this as well. If you want to go back to that sin, if you want to go and try and, you know, people, we get condemned by things, you know, we think, oh, you know, I'm under the power of this, but we're not. When we walk in the Spirit, we're free. If you want to go back to that sin, if you want to try and find it, you know what you have to do? You have to run down the hill. You might as well run violently. That's what they did. Over the cliff, dive to the bottom of the sea, get a dead pig, drag it to shore and give it mouth to mouth. Resuscitate the sin. And then you got another, you know, 1,999 pigs to get because there was 2,000. It's absurd, isn't it? It's absurd. Jesus Christ, I believe, is showing us here, it's gone. The victory over the sin is yours. And Jesus Christ did that. So praise God he delivered you from your sin. As we're going through this, remember your legion, remember the unclean spirits of your sin, and remember what we're talking about this weekend, enjoying your salvation. Hopefully as we go through this, you get reason. You know, people don't do anything unless they've got a reason. And as we go through this, hopefully it'll give you reason to go, that's another thing. And that's another thing. It builds my appreciation. Okay, a new name. After this man, Legion, is delivered from these unclean spirits, you know what? He's never called Legion again. It was the man who had the Legion. Or it was the man who was this or whatever. He was never called Legion again. In Revelations, it says that you will be given a new name. See how it's actually relating to us? Romans 8 says that we have received the spirit of adoption. John 1 talks about, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to be the sons of God. See, your definition before, as mine, was sinner. And now, once Jesus Christ has delivered us, we have a new name, a new definition, and that is sons of God. Sons of God. And this man, when you look in verse 15, look at the result once he's delivered. Before, he was crying and running and cutting himself, and now he's sitting at Jesus' feet at peace. Before, he was naked when he was running around. Now he's clothed. The Bible says, with clothed with righteousness. Before, he was out of his mind, and now the scriptures document he was in his right mind. And the amazing testimony to all the people around about of what happened to this man. 1 Corinthians says that we have the mind of Christ. When we have the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. Verse 17 was an interesting verse, because I originally thought, it says here, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. I thought they were saying, Legion, you know, go. We liked you the way you were before, this random crazy guy. But it wasn't. It was actually Jesus Christ they were praying to depart from out of their coasts. Does that ring any bell to you? Crucify him? Give us to Barabbas? You know, that's the understatement of the decade, century, millennium. They prayed Jesus Christ to leave their coasts, didn't we, as a human race? We sent him. You know, we crucified him. Verse 18 and 19, this is good too. Jesus, this guy, Legion, says, oh, I want to go with you. And what's interesting is when Jesus was on the earth, in general, he actually grabbed disciples and he wanted them to be with him. But for this man, he says no. He says in verse 19, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. He sends him out, and this guy in verse 20 goes to Decapolis, this place Decapolis. And I didn't even think about what that meant for a while. But what Decapolis means is 10 cities. So before, this guy's on his own, and now Jesus Christ commissions him to go to 10 cities. What a difference in the two. And that's got meaning as well. But what Jesus Christ says to him here is two things. Well, three things. He tells him who to go and tell to his friends. And he says to him, and there's a key to preaching the gospel in here, I believe. The two things he says is tell them of the great things and the compassion. Now, for me, I tell a lot of people about the great things, and I suppose for me, great things are things like healing, things like provision, miracles, etc. But when I read this, I thought, if I'm Legion and I've been delivered from sin, the compassion that Jesus Christ has showed me. Note that both of these things are positive things. I was talking to someone last night, and you know, if we go around just preaching a gospel of fear, and that is the only ingredient, the scriptures say that some are saved by fear. But that might only be 0.0005 of the whole that will be saved. The gospel means good news, you know? So when we go out there and we speak to people, Jesus Christ says, go and speak of the great things and the compassion. And for me, the compassion, I thought, well, if I speak of miracles, and I suppose I do that because I think, well, that's what people want to hear. They want to hear the miraculous, and that's true. But with that, the compassion of what Jesus Christ has done, what he's delivered us from, that's why we're looking at these verses today. So you can go, well, yeah, I was Legion. That picture that was painted of him out of control, cutting himself, everything, that was what I would have been like beforehand. That's what I looked like to God. And now I'm free and I'm redeemed and I'm delivered. The people who said to Jesus, depart from our coasts, they were the people, it says, that were from Decapolis. So if we're saying, you know, a spiritual meaning to this is that humankind crucified Jesus Christ, sent him out of their coasts. And then Jesus Christ straight away commissions this man to go back to those same people who sent him out of his, out of this earth to preach to them, to speak of the great things and compassion. What amazing mercy that Jesus Christ has done to all of us. The mercy that he has sent us to the people who crucified him, that they might be saved. This is your commission. But wait, there's more. Is this just a one-off story? Or is this somewhere else? Let's go to Isaiah 65. It's the same story. Verse 1 talks about, says, I am found of them that sought me not. Verse 2, I have spread out my hands to a people who walked in their own way, a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Remember, Jesus Christ came to Legion. The initiative was his. Verse 4, a people that remain amongst the graves and monuments. Do you remember how Legion was running around in the tombs and the graves? Get this, who eat swine's flesh. Do you remember the pigs? And how in Leviticus, we weren't go, people of God don't go there? And abominable things are in their vessels. Unclean spirit, sin. Verse 8 talks about how there's good grapes among the bad grapes, and I won't destroy them all. So that's mercy. Verse 9, I'll bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah. Enter Jesus Christ. Same thing, same story. Verse 9 says, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. So it's talking about a place where they're going to be sent. Verse 14, you shall leave your name as a curse, and he will call his servants by another name. Do you remember how we said it? Legion is no more called Legion. He's called something new, like us, sons of God. Verse 16 to 19, the former troubles will be forgotten, and the voice of weeping and crying shall no more be heard. Remember what he was before and what he was changed to? You see, Isaiah 65 is talking about a nation, a people, Israel. That's what you had to do in the Old Testament. You had to be part of Israel to be one of God's chosen people. That set of scriptures in Isaiah 65 is talking about a nation. Whereas in the New Testament, the whole New Testament is about what? It's about Jesus Christ coming for the individual. One person. You are Legion. The person is you. Is that the only account of that story? Okay, Psalm 107. All the way through Psalm 107, it's this same story again. This same thing. All the way through, every few verses, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever, and sort of promotes people to actually praise God. And you, if you have a read of this later as well, verse, it says here, he has redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way on their own. They found no city to dwell in. Remember how he was doing that? Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. But he led them forth in the right way to a city of habitation, to 10 cities. They were in the darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and iron. Remember how Legion was bound by something greater than he could break free from and greater than any man could help him? They found no place. There was none to help, it says there. Then it says, but he sent his word and he healed them. Enter Jesus Christ once again. John 1 says Jesus was the Word made flesh. All the way through this, it says, you know, like I said before, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and wonderful works to men. Oh, that men would enjoy their salvation, is what he's saying. Pastor Russell Gay, anyone from Toowoomba here? Pastor Russell Gay gave this classic quote at convention this year. He said, the third chapter of the Bible speaks of man coming under sin and dying spiritually. The third to last chapter speaks of mankind returning and living in the presence of God. This is Genesis through to Revelation. And all the chapters in between speak of redemption of man back to God. This is the whole plan of God for you and for me in these verses. Redemption, saved, salvation. This is, we're going through this so you can get an appreciation. Remember, you are Legion. This is your story. It's not just someone over in Palestine somewhere. Other examples of this, think about this, the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. That was a salvation experience for those people. If they didn't cross that Red Sea, they were nuked. The Egyptians were right behind them to slaughter them. God comes in with a firm hand, parts the water, and he actually destroys all the things that were chasing them right in front of their eyes. The death of the old, the start of the new. Think about the children of Israel crossing Jordan, the River Jordan, which the same thing happened, by the way. The sea, the rivers parted. They walk into the promised land to conquer the first city of the promised land, Jericho. That was the death of the old, wandering in the wilderness, and the start of the new. Think about yourself. Remember, you are Legion. What does Romans 6 say about you? Buried with him in baptism, into his death, raised in newness of life. We won't turn there, but Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 in the New Living Translation says this: because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who had lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Jesus Christ crossed the sea and beat death for one person. But in Hebrews 1, 2-4, it says that God spoke in times past to us by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, you are Legion and Jesus Christ has come to you. In this story, Jesus Christ gets in a boat, he comes across the stormy sea, he meets Legion, delivers Legion, commissions him, and then you know what he does? Gets back in the boat and goes straight back again. There's only one thing documented that he came across the sea to do, and that was to deliver the individual, one person. Jesus Christ crossed from death, from immortality to death, immortality, and back again to be our high priest for one person, and that person is you. The question is, how does that make you feel? Does it give you a thankful heart? Can you sort of think, what amazing salvation? You know, I can enjoy my salvation when I get that. Remember in Mark 4, we read what Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. Let us go over to the mortals. Let us pass over to them and bring mercy. The initiative with God's, it wasn't Legion who could say, who ring Jesus Christ up and go, I'm on the other side of the sea, can you come over? I'm out of my mind. He was so out of mind, he couldn't do anything about it. That's how we were when Jesus Christ came to us. What happened next was, I thought, I need to finish this talk off, but I didn't feel like it was finished. So, you know, sometimes when you read the Bible and you go, and start reading? Well, I had some prayer and I said, Lord, I just want you to show me what I've need, the verse that I need to finish this talk off with. So I had some prayer, opened it up, and I opened up to the maps. And I thought, oh, what's that, you know? I thought maybe there's some fine print or something at the bottom. But I thought, no, if I prayed and I believed that, there's got to be something in it. So this is a map. This is what I opened up to. And can you see here, running diagonally down there is the River Jordan, runs straight diagonally through there. There's a small body of water at the top. Then there's the sea, which Jesus crossed. Sea of Galilee, I think it is. Jesus crossed there. Then the Jordan runs down, and then the Dead Sea is at the bottom, okay? One of the brothers in the Central Coast recently sort of showed how that the left-hand side indicates the Promised Land. The children of Israel crossed the Jordan and went into the Promised Land. The right-hand side represents their wandering in the wilderness. There's some white dots. I had a look at where Jesus went. See the white dots? His ministry, from when he was a child up until his end of his second year of ministry, is where that basically that's where those white dots, where he went, all between those places. See those stars? That's the 10 cities that make up Decapolis. See the difference between those two? Jesus Christ commissions the man who was Legion to go somewhere where he has not yet been. You know, in 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about we are ambassadors. He sends you a legion. He has delivered the one from sin, every individual, to go into a place where he has not yet been. This is our commission. Now, I originally thought, and I had this half wrong, sometimes being half wrong is better than being right because it makes you look at it more, but I thought, oh, that's amazing, that's great. He's commissioned and he sent us into a place he's never been. But then I noticed just recently, next slide, in his third year of ministry, he sends legion. A year later, Jesus Christ comes right through the middle of the Decapolis. And it says he worked many, many miracles there. Do you know sometimes I forget in my life what I'm meant to be doing? You know sometimes I forget that Jesus Christ is returning. He's coming here. Your sin is gone for a reason. And that is because you need to go and tell of the great things and the compassion that has happened to you in 10 cities. In Luke, it talks about the faithful servant inherits 10 cities. He has authority over 10 cities. I thought, oh, that's power. That's like, you know, like judgment and everything. But what the word really means, it's actually a sense of ability. You've been given an ability. It's not about your power anymore. It's about the ability that God has given you, and it's a guide. It's not authority. It's a guide to guide 10 cities. You know what an ambassador, I looked up the term ambassador, and it means an authorized messenger or representative, usually for a specific length of time. We're in the 10 cities before Jesus Christ is coming through. See, almost all of Jesus Christ's ministry was focused on the Jews when he was here. Paul, on the other hand, was focused more on the Gentiles. But you know what? The Decapolis, the 10 cities, was predominantly Gentile nations, all people who didn't know God. It was the head of philosophy and a lot of other social sort of advances in that area. The places that Jesus Christ has sent us to that he has not yet been is what? Friends, neighbors' hearts, into their lives, the people that you know, the people that you can just tell of the great things and the compassion. Okay, we're finishing up now. Okay, hopefully what you've seen from this is that the Word of God is just full of great things. And the plan of God concerning you as an individual is in these verses. There's 10 reasons that I can pick that you can enjoy your salvation. I'll go through those 10 great reasons. Number one, it's an age-old story of redemption for you. It's the message of thousands of years, but it involves you as an individual. Number two, now you have some idea of what you looked like before you met Jesus Christ. If you were zero, if you were one, if you were five, you were in this state that you couldn't help yourself, and Jesus Christ saved you. Number three, you've met the risen Christ personally, the one who's given you the Holy Ghost, just like Legion. Number four, by God's grace, you responded. You responded to the word of Jesus Christ, and you're here. Do you ever wonder sometimes, how did I get here? How did this happen? By the grace of God. Number five, you were bound by something greater than you could control, and now you're free. Number six, you've been given a new name, sons of God, daughters of God. Number seven, he sent his word and he healed you. Jesus Christ, the initiative of mercy was God's. Let us pass over. Jesus crossed the stormy sea for you. Read in John the verses about Jesus in the garden. Read those verses. Soak those in. Understand the stormy passage he took. Number nine, you're not wandering on the right-hand side anymore of in the wilderness with no reason. You are in the land of men representing the kingdom of God. You've been commissioned by Jesus Christ himself. And this is not someone who's some great evangelist or whatever. This is the one who's delivered from sin. The one who is delivered from sin, Jesus says, Go and tell me the great things and the compassion. You've been commissioned to go where Jesus Christ has not been yet. Into your friend's heart, into your neighbor's life, into the people that you know. And number 10, Jesus is coming back to the place he sent you. He's coming straight through here to all the hearts that you've spoken to change this world, to confirm the words that you've been speaking and to take you to be his. Just one last thing. Psalm 107 says all the way through, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." It keeps saying that all the way through. Oh, that men would enjoy their salvation. Amen.